Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today is a live prophecy reality edition. If you're listening on a Wednesday morning or noon Eastern time, then it's most likely a live broadcast. So come on over to the chat room if you're able to at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or .net and join the conversation. Let's see. What are we going to talk about today? Well, really not a whole lot happening on the news front. As far as they're still hiding their peace plan over there, and they keep pushing back the date when they're going to reveal it. So I guess we'll just keep waiting for that. I think they have to get all of their permits in ready, get everything permitted and ready to go, because I think they don't want it to be a no-go, but a definite go when they unveil it. That is, of course, President Trump and his son-in-law working on that peace plan over there. So we'll see what happens there. As far as everything else is going according to plan, and just as God told us that it would in prophecy, the prophecy or history in advance is becoming reality continually as the line of time moves through history. I thought today we'd do something different. I was going to open up the book of Revelation and begin an inquiry. So I've been studying now intently since about, well, almost 15 years, actually, on prophecy. And, of course, I wrote my first prophecy book about 2014, The Rapture Will Be Canceled, which was the title of the second chapter of that book. But it was a lot more than about that. It was about many of the things that I discovered up until that time. And I believe I didn't take any leaps there. I didn't make any preposterous suppositions or guesses about the history, about history. I kind of stuck with what I knew to be fulfilled history in that book, using the historicist method. So you won't find any speculation in there from me in that first book. And so I moved along to about January 2017, really end of 2016, when I wrote my second book, When the Third Temple is Built, the Rapture Play Will Begin. And there's a little speculation in there. I have to admit, speculation can be a good thing. It's a tool that we have to use. Just don't get carried away and think your speculation is reality. And what I speculated about in this book is what's going to happen when they start building the third temple, or a third temple type building, probably just going to be a national synagogue, and they're going to call it the third temple, but it's not really going to be a third temple. And my speculation is that when they build this third temple, that they're going to set aside the blood sacrifice, and they're not going to allow any blood sacrifice on the Temple Mount. Because, of course, the Antichrist is in charge of the world, much to the chagrin of all the dispensational futurists who have believed for years what the Counter-Reformation voice has spoken to them. Yeah, you hearing voices? Yeah, have you heard that you can't know who the Antichrist is? See, that's the voice of the Counter-Reformation, because they want you to believe that you can't know who the Antichrist is. And so because he's not going to be revealed until the time that you're raptured out of here. So you don't even really have to worry about it. So why waste your time trying to figure out who the Antichrist is? Because you can't know who the Antichrist is. Well, that's a lie. I'm here to tell you that's a big fat lie, from the Antichrist Counter-Reformation camp itself. They don't want you to know who the Antichrist is. But God does. Does God, and I did a broadcast here just recently, You can look it up. Does God want you to know who the Antichrist is? So we settled that question. It's settled. God wants you to know who the Antichrist is. As a matter of fact, he was revealed to the church. I mean, there were probably some individuals that recognized him at the beginning of his 1260-year reign. Okay? And that reign began about the time shortly after the Roman Empire was conquered by the 10 Gothic kingdoms, because three of those 10 Gothic kingdoms that overran the Roman Empire were plucked up immediately and supplanted by, well, the Antichrist from the Vatican. That's right. And then he ruled in the old world European Empire for 1260 years. But he did lose a tenth of the kingdom. You can read about that in Revelation. Speaking of the Revelation, a tenth of the kingdom fell away. And I agree with E.B. Eliot that the only viable candidate was Protestant England, which withdrew from the Papal States at that time. And so my two previous books did one edition, didn't need to change anything, didn't need to do seven editions and revisions, because I didn't write anything preposterous. I didn't say anything that didn't come true in it, at least not yet. So there's really nothing to change. And I feel pretty good about that, because I heard some prophecy guy on another broadcast who said God dictated his prophecy book to him 30 years ago. But make sure when you go to buy it that you get the seventh edition. I guess God didn't get it quite right when he dictated it the first time. That's kind of, people say things like that. They don't realize what they're saying, how preposterous it is that God dictated their book. God did not dictate my books to me. Okay. They're mine. I take full credit. We don't have to make room after the book of Revelation for my books. Okay. Because I only want my books to say what to be in line with and confirm and be confirmed by the scripture itself. That's what I'm after. And so with that, I was thinking that I'm going to make an inquiry, because I do want to write, an expose on the Revelation, with everything I've learned over the last 15 or so years, really longer than that. But I really did not start to study in depth prophecy until about 15 years ago, about 2005. And I've learned a lot, and I think I'm ready now. Yeah, after 15 years of intensive study, I've done a lot of reading, and history is what you read. Of course, I've read the Bible over and over, in some parts more than others, especially if you're focusing on prophecy. You got to get all of those prophecy parts. You have to understand them, and so that they're ready, in your mind when you're reading or thinking about something, that if there's something that correlates, you want to be able to have that in your grasp, available to draw on. So you have to know all the prophecies of the scripture quite well, as well as any man can. And I think I hope I've done that. I mean, I'm sure there's probably a few people out there that I've spent a lot more time and maybe have a better brain than mine, because sometimes I think my recall is not that well. It's not that good. But I think I might be ready to put it down and do that study or expose on the book of Revelation. But right now I thought I'm going to start an inquiry. Because I'll open up the inquiry and I'm going to go through each chapter and inquire and start, sorting it out a little bit, so that maybe when I do write this thing that, I'll have it much more together. And because it always helps to share with people on the air, before I do something. It's like my first book, and my second book, the bulk of them came out of articles or programs that I did, articles I wrote, and then I would do, that I would cover the article on the air and further refine it. And I refine that article 100 times before I feel like it's done, you know. And then there's place for it in your book. But this is going to be a little different. Now, I've read the Jorge Apocalyptica, E.B. Eliot's Jorge Apocalyptica, 3 times. And then I set out to do a revised edition. Now, E.B. Eliot did 5 editions in his lifetime. And so I've done the 6th edition. I call it the Reformation Quincentennial Edition. And I'm hoping that if E.B. Eliot was alive today, well, he would agree with me in a lot of things, because I know that some of the things, I mean, he posited in his, in the last two, especially the last volume, volume 4, that Christ would be coming about the turn of the 20th century. That's like 119 years ago. if you get my gist. So he was obviously wrong there. And I cover that in my book. And I mean, I cover that in the updated edition. I even put his chart in there showing you that and how he came to his conclusion briefly. But then I give a more updated conclusion on that and many other things that he kind of speculated on, or he like took the false prophet and somehow equated that. And this is the same mistake a lot of people make. They equate the false prophet with the two-horned earth beast of Revelation 13. But a beast is a beast. It's not something else. And he made the beast the clergy. And the clergy can't be a beast because they don't qualify as a beast. Now, I think if we sat down today together, me and him, we would iron this thing out. If you go to my website, and I think it would absolutely settle the question for you, because a lot of people are going to my website to look at these several articles which came out or are taken from my updates to the Jorge Apocalyptica 6th edition, the Reformation Quincentennial edition that we published. And if I go to my website here, let's see, let me do that. Put it on the screen for all of the people that are watching. And if you go to my website here, you'll see, oops, let me go to the home page here. Okay, and you'll see it right up here at the top. The Beast Powers of Apocalyptic Scripture, 3 parts, is quickly becoming one of the most popular on my website, along with the Empire of the City, the Unholy Trinity that rules the world. But you can see whatever's trending in the top 10 trending articles on my website in the left-hand column here. So, and many of those are up at the top here, but I have 2 of them. That's this one here, the Beast Powers of Apocalyptic Scripture, parts 1 through 3. And then I also have one on America in, or the two-horned earth beast, which is a lot of people are paying attention to. But I think if you read this article here, let me click on that and go to it. And, well, you don't read it. I guess you have to watch it. And I don't know, is there, yeah. But you can also read it too, okay? Because if you go to horeapocalypticae.wordpress.com, you'll find the updated, in volume 3, you'll find this chapter, or where this is derived from. But anyway, so if you want to understand why the second beast of Revelation cannot be the false prophet or the clergy or the Jesuits, and a lot of people are putting different things out there. They're kind of stuck in the past, some of them, because they're going with what Isaac Newton wrote or what H. Grattan Guinness wrote. And, I love H. Grattan Guinness. He's done some marvelous work, but he was wrong on some things. He didn't see them yet. E.B. Eliot obviously didn't see what America would be. Or he would have at least entertained the idea. And it was 1860. How could he? You know, America had nothing to do with the old world Roman Empire, as that beast power would absolutely have to do in the future, and which it has done since. And so you go through this, part 1 through 3, and you'll have a better understanding. And if you disagree with me, leave comments there. Okay. That's all I ask. Leave comments there and I'm pretty sure that I pretty much got it nailed. So, I mean, I've vetted this thing for over many, many years. And I love some of these people. They'll pop up and they'll have some idea, or they read a book. They read Isaac Newton on the Revelation in Daniel, and then they like his idea and it sounds good to them, but he was wrong on some things. You know, that's, you know, I've read it already. I've got copies of it here. E.B. Eliot's Hoary Apocalyptica. In the appendix, you'll find the history of apocalyptic interpretation. He names a lot of those things in there even. So, and also, since the Bible is a book of history, and prophecy is history in advance, well then it's very fitting that we also know history. And right now in the second hour, I'm going through The History of Protestantism by James A. Wiley. Okay, we're going to do part three of that today, in the last hour. And I'm reading it now for the third time, but I'm reading it on the air for the third time. Yes, I've completely read it twice. And I see it, you know. But it's not a book about prophecy. It's a book about history. But since prophecy is history in advance, well, you can see how it correlates with something like E.B. Eliot's Hoary Apocalypticae, which is about a book about history and how it correlates with the Revelation, how God gave us the history in advance. So, and that's what I want to accomplish with my inquiry into the book of Revelation. So that's not really a Bible study, although we're studying the Bible. Bible study per se. I think I did a Bible study on the Revelation about 15 years ago too, and I ended up saying, I don't know what this means to a lot of things. So a lot of things, I mean, you can read it without knowing all the history and hopefully get some things out of it that can help you out in your walk with Christ. But also it can spark the imagination, and then you start trying to correlate it with what you think it might mean, rather than where it fits in history. And then, voila, we got a lot of error going on. There are a lot of harebrained ideas where God isn't speaking to you because you're not using what he's demonstrated in the scripture itself as a method of interpreting prophecy, which is through history, because you can't verify prophecy. And this is the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth right now. The only prophecy that you can really understand is prophecy that has been fulfilled and verified by history. Then you got it nailed. Because, you know, as they say, 2020 hindsight. You know, that's what hindsight is, 2020. You can see it clearly. And that's the only time you can really see prophecy fulfilled, is clearly in history. And so it, and sometimes, you know, it's like E.B. Eliot tried to fit the two-horned beast power into history. He tried to fulfill it in history, but it never quite fit. You know, he'd mention it here and there, but it seemed like he could never really nail it down because it wasn't. And but see, that's what we do. We're historicists. That's what we do. We try to find it in history. And if we can, or if it's not quite right, we go, well, this is, you know. And plus there's some kind of, you know, sometimes there's an order given in time in the scripture. So we got to kind of pay attention to that. But it's easy to make that mistake. But for the most part, what E.B. Eliot did, the bulk of his work stands the test of time. The first two volumes, nothing. Everything was right in it, as far as I'm concerned. Better than anything I could figure out. He's got all the references, everything in there. So getting a copy of the Hoary Apocalypticae might be a good idea. And if you go to my website, let me put that back on the screen again. And if you go to, let's see. Oh, just click on this. You see the cover of the Hoary Apocalypticae here on my website. If you click on that, it'll take you to a page, and we have a special there. And so this is a Hori Apocalyptica 4-volume sets. And let's see, if you want hardcover, it's $110 plus $15 shipping and handling. And that's a hardcover set. And it's really nice set. I've got a copy of it. Of course, I have to buy the proof copies before we can send it into publication and for sale on Amazon and all those places. But they're all up there now if you want to pay more for them. So you can get the entire 4-volume set for $110, $15 for hardcover, $75 plus $15 shipping and handling for the paperback, or for the EPUB, $30, and we'll email it to you within 24 hours. Okay? And that also includes the supplemental volume, with the EPUB edition, includes the supplemental volume, The History of Apocalyptic Interpretation, which is published separately because it's a good standalone. But we include that. And if you buy the paperback or the hardcover, we send you the EPUB right away while you're waiting for your shipping. you'll have the EPUB right away anyway. So you get that as a bonus, the 4 volumes and the supplemental History of Apocalyptic Interpretation. So take advantage of it. The EPUB, it's really nice. I've tried it out. Of course, I had to get it right before I could publish it. And so it's really nice. And all the exhibits that E.B. Elliott, all of his original exhibits are there. So, I hope you'll enjoy it. But like I said, I'll hurt myself by saying you can have it all for free. You don't have to pay anything. Just go to horiapocalyptica.wordpress.com and we publish the whole thing on a WordPress site. So, yeah, isn't that awful? See, I'll tell you, you could buy stuff and help support this broadcast, but I give it all to you for free and you don't have to send me a penny. Boy, that's not very good business, man, am I? And come to think of it, we do need your support here at Cross the Border and First Amendment Radio. I mean, it's a lot of fun doing all this and working for about $2 or $3 an hour. That's about what I get for all the time, 60 to 80 hours a week. I'm probably making about $2, $3 an hour, and that's it. I mean, would you do that? You would only do it for the Lord. And the reason I work so hard, and I do work hard, if you ask anyone who's visited the ranch here, I spend most of my time working. I do try to balance it out with some play. I like to ride my bicycle around town and things like that and get some exercise. Plus there's ranch work and tractors to drive and animals to feed. So it all kind of balances out. Okay, we're going to jump into the Revelation in the next segment here and start our inquiry into the book of Revelation. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.